your copy of God's Word to Acts chapter 16 for just a moment. Acts chapter 16. If you page through your copy of the annual report booklet today, the little stack of sheets you've got, and you see my report in there, you'll notice that it actually starts with this same passage, Acts 16. As you come down to verse 9, it says, "And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia was standing there, urging him, saying, 'Come over to Macedonia and help us.' When Paul had seen the vision immediately, we sought to go on into Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them." I mentioned that particular passage because, as you may be aware, if you've been coming for a while, we have just started a new series looking at the Gospel of Luke. Luke, of course, was a Greek. He was not a believer. In fact, the understanding we have is that Luke was probably very much a heathen at the time that the gospel came. There are many scholars who believe that this vision may have actually been Luke, or may have been the Spirit pointing Paul to Greece, to Macedonia, and we know that it was in that encounter that Luke came, encountered to the gospel, and came to believe, and eventually began to follow Paul and his team, became part of the missionary journeys, became part of the church fellowship, eventually came to Jerusalem and met the leadership there, and of course, in time would pen not only his gospel, but also the book of Acts. Amazing influence, amazing result of a ministry, because Paul answered that call to go to Macedonia. It's not where Paul wanted to go. He wanted to go to Western Asia. He had a completely different plan in mind. And yet, he was willing to be flexible, willing to change, willing to follow the prompting of the Spirit, even though that's not what he wanted to do. I think that's an important lesson for all of us. And there's a second lesson in this particular passage about that, actually a more difficult and even challenging lesson. You know, sometimes there are things that we encounter that we don't want, and then we suddenly find out, but they were used for good. I had, two things that went through my mind. Recently, we had a team that went to Brazil. I understand that when they went out to dinner with the missionary family in Brazil, they went to one of these truly authentic Brazilian churrascaria restaurants where they bring the meat out on the spits, kind of like we have here in the States, only down there it's a lot better and a lot less expensive. Only when they came out, there was this spit, and on it were these little chunks, nuggets of meat all up the spit. And it's like, well, what are these? And they start, putting them on the plates. And they realize what they are is chicken hearts. Now, a lot of our team were not accustomed to eating the Brazilian delicacy of spit-roasted chicken hearts. And some of them are like, not going to touch it, not on your life. But I've talked to three who actually went, yeah, they were pretty good. One actually said a little crispy and kind of flavorful. One said a little chewy, but, it definitely didn't taste like chicken. I said, what did it taste like? He goes, actually, it tasted like beef. And I thought, well, there's an interesting reality. But, now they have the experience of saying we've eaten chicken hearts. Remember, my grandmother was almost 70 years old. She was in her late 70s when we were out with some friends at dinner, and our friend ordered a lobster. And my grandmother literally said, what's lobster? How do you get to that place in life? And he goes, you've never had lobster? And she said, no. So he goes, well, order one for her. And so you should have seen my, almost 80-year-old grandmother's eyes when this plate came and this big red tail was sitting on the middle of it. And she's like, what is this? And she wasn't sure she was going to eat it. And I'm thinking, you better eat it. I know what he paid for it. And so sure enough, we cut it off and we gave her the little fork. And they brought over the little stand with the hot butter. And she dipped it in and she ate it. And her eyes just lit up. And she went, wow, that's good. Of course, she also said, if you put that much butter on an old shoe, it'll taste good. But it really, captured the moment, and for the final, years of her life, you couldn't get her into a restaurant without her asking, do they have lobster? And, unexpected things that surprise us and can be good. In this passage, just before we hear about the Macedonian call, as you look at the beginning of Acts 16, there's another individual we know who is appearing in this passage for the first time. And that's Paul's own son in the faith, Timothy. It says in chapter 16, verse 1, Paul came also to Derbe and to Lystra. A disciple was there named Timothy, the son of a Jewish woman who was a believer, but his father was a Greek. He was well spoken of by the brothers at Lystra and Iconium. Paul wanted Timothy to accompany him, and he took him and circumcised him because of the Jews who were in those places, for they all knew that his father was a Greek. As they went on their way through the cities, they delivered to them for observance the decisions that had been reached by the apostles and elders who were in Jerusalem. So the churches were strengthened in faith, and they increased in numbers daily. That little paragraph is potent with a humble and effective ministry decision. We read the story, and of course, whenever we bring up that very uncomfortable word, circumcision, we all just kind of go, but it was an important thing for the church at that time. Remember, that was the mark of the covenant. It was the seed of Abraham. It was the passing on of the genetic heritage and the spiritual heritage to the people of God, to the children and the next generation. And I know it seems like to us like just this crazy, almost unthinkable mark or sign, and yet it was that sense of passing on to the generations the heritage of the covenant that God had made. And so it was important. Now, what's really interesting about this passage is if you kind of read it from the bottom up, you see it's a bit unusual because it ends there by saying they went on their way through the cities and delivered for them the observance, for their observance, the decisions that had been reached by the apostles and the elders. What decisions are those? Well, that's back in Acts chapter 15, and it was the decision that circumcision was not expected or required by believers in Jesus Christ. That was the old covenant. That was the old way of doing things. And that the mark now was the Holy Spirit that indwelt every person. And it was open not just to the Jewish people, but to Gentiles as well. That was the message they were bringing. They were actually bringing the decision that circumcision is past. That covenant mark is no longer the one that sets us apart. And yet Paul came to Timothy and said, son, will you do this? It's so important that if you go back to Galatians chapter 2, you'll see that in regard to Titus, Paul actually confronted the leaders of the church who wanted to circumcise Titus, and they said, he will not do this. In fact, it is an affront, an anathema to the gospel if Titus submits to that right, because it makes his salvation of works and not of faith. You go, then what's Paul doing with Timothy? You see, the circumstances were a little bit different. Titus was fully a Gentile, fully Greek in everything. He'd been raised Greek, he lived as a Greek, and he became a believer as a Greek. So the question for him was not about heritage or culture or anything else. It was just about truly faith in the gospel. More than that, what Titus encountered were unfaithful believers who were trying to shackle him by saying he couldn't be saved, he couldn't be part of the fellowship in the body of Christ unless he accepted this circumcision and did the works of the law. And Paul opposed that and said, no way. But Timothy's situation was completely different. Timothy had a Jewish mother who, as we learn in other parts of the scripture, raised him in the Jewish experiences and traditions and taught him the Old Testament Jewish approach to worship and faith and trusting God. And he knew those Old Testament scriptures well. More than that, we find that at Lystra and Derbe, when Timothy grew up, he didn't grow up with people criticizing him for what he was or who he was. It says that he was well spoken of. He was admired literally throughout the churches in Derbe and Iconium that are presented here. But one thing was known about him. While he lived as a Jew with those Jewish histories and traditions, they knew that his father was a Greek, and his father had always forbidden him to receive that mark of covenant. And Paul knew they were going into a region where there were unbelieving Jews, and they were going to be opening the hope of the Messiah to them from those Old Testament scriptures. And they didn't want barriers before the gospel had a chance to reach their hearts. And so Paul said to Timothy this, at least as I understand what's behind the words that are in Scripture. He said, Timothy, you don't have to do this. It's not part of your faith or your salvation or your walk with God. But this would make your ability to present the gospel so much more effective. To those people for whom this is the starting point of faith, the starting point of God, and we hope to bring them from that trust in the old covenant to the trust in the Messiah that we know in Jesus Christ. But if they look at you and say, you've been practicing and living like a Jew, but you don't really believe and you don't really trust and you don't really honor the word of God, then they'll never listen from day one. So Timothy, I want you to do me a favor. I want you to undergo this rite of circumcision. Now, Timothy could have stood up and said, no way, Paul. Hey, we just fought a battle about that down in Jerusalem. And by the way, we're taking that message around. And, you know, thank you, but no thank you. I'll pass on that. But Timothy humbled himself. He said, if it advances the gospel, I can do this. Wow. And so he did. And he began to go with Paul and the team and proclaim. And Timothy became a man mightily used of God, a man who was a successor to Paul in ministry and in training and teaching and pastoral leadership, a man who stands at the pinnacle of what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ, effectively used to reach into the darkness of the world. Unexpected? Oh, you bet. Difficult? Completely. And yet the mark of a servant of God. Here's the good news, folks. I can promise you this, no one's going to ask you to be circumcised. Ain't going to happen. But God may ask you to try some new things. Maybe it'll be great, just like lobster. Maybe it'll be a little unusual, just like chicken hearts. Maybe it'll even be challenging, like it was for Timothy. But whatever it is, if you are willing to be humble and flexible and follow where God leads, he will pour his blessings out through you. And you will have that joy of being one of God's chosen and used for his glory. That's who we are and who we want to be always at Washington Heights. And I hope that we will all truly be like Timothy, ready to say, sure, Lord, if it advances the gospel, I can do that. Let's pray together. Our Father and our God, we just ask that you will allow each of us to be Timothys in your presence. Use us as we humble ourselves and yield ourselves to you and your Spirit to reach our world, even as Timothy and Luke and Paul reached theirs. Lord, bless the efforts of our church. The practical, nitty-gritty, everyday efforts that we talk about even in this business meeting. Bless our leadership and bless our teams and our volunteers, our teachers and our missionaries, our support personnel and our servants, our custodial staff and the people who just help in every small way to love one another and to reach out and share Christ with our world. Lord, we humble ourselves before you. We ask you to use us for your glory. We pray that our community will be changed by the love and grace of Jesus Christ. And we ask this in his precious and powerful name. Amen.